Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate George Glass.
That's funny. I've never heard of a George Glass at our school.
Today is January 24th, 2014, and this is episode 72.
I'm sorry, what year is that?
January 24th, 2015, and this is episode 72, Baby Come Home. Welcome again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This week, in honor of word that we may soon be getting a revival of the Rock Band franchise, we decided we were going to take things easy and have a real casual conversation about some series that we hope can make revivals in the future.
When you said it... In honor of Word, I'm like, wait, we're celebrating Microsoft's famed word processor? I remember using, like, Word for Windows 2.0.
So,
I have good memories, you know? It had all the, like, underline, italic, bold, all you needed.
Buckle in and get ready for that.
I was raised on WordPerfect, though, you know, like, straight up in DOS.
We have our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy, you want to get us started?
Yeah, I think you need to compose yourself. Crunchyroll has announced that they will be, I guess you can't really say simulcasting because it's,
they call it simulpub.
I guess they do, yeah. They're going to be simulpublishing or simulpubbing the Persona Q manga that we just talked about the other episode. The first side P4, will be available on Sunday, January 25th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
So by the time you hear this show, you'll be able to read this manga if you have a Crunchyroll sub.
Yeah.
We also have word here that the PlayStation-exclusive TV show Powers is going to be debuting on March 10th.
That's cool.
The first episode will be free to all PSN account holders, and PlayStation Plus subscribers will have access to the entire season.
Oh, cool. That means me.
We also had a really amazing thing happen this week when Theater Rhythm Curtain Call Final Fantasy got new DLC this week from The World Ends With You.
Yeah, that is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, you know, this game has a lot of fans. I certainly consider myself one of them. And I was really super, super, super excited to see the tracks Twister and Calling added to the song roster of Final Fantasy Curtain Call Theater Rhythm. They also got two more songs from Chrono Trigger this week.
Oh, yes.
Yep. And to round things out, we also got Final Confrontation from Romancing Saga 3 and Liberi Fatali from Final Fantasy 8.
Oh, yes!
So that was a pretty good week for
Theater
Rhythm DLC.
I need to go download that, like, right now. In other news, Pokken Tournament is going to be played with a controller. Harada-san showed during a live stream that, you know, in order to make the game kind of accessible for beginner fighting gamers, that they wanted to use a, you know, more traditional gamepad rather than a, you know, fighting joystick, arcade stick.
Excellent.
And so, how interesting that it looks like basically it could be kind of like a pro controller. I wonder if that might be ported to Wii U at some point.
Yeah, I think it's pretty likely.
Yeah, that was kind of implied by my voice.
We also got word here from Sega that Phantasy Star Online 2 is going to be getting DLC. I'm sorry, in-game crossover cameo of costumes from Fate Hollow Ataraxia.
To be fair, crossover content is basically like Japanese DLC at this point.
Right, and there's been a ton of it in PSO2 so far. So this is just, you know, sort of the next piece. I know that the Fate franchise is getting pretty big in North America now. I know quite a few people who are watching Fate Zero and Fate Stay Night, so it's has a pretty big fan base at this point.
Nice. In Dragon Ball Xenoverse news, Bandai Namco has revealed that Omega Shenron and Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta are going to be playable characters.
Boo.
Also, well, save your booze, because they're going to be playable characters from Dragon Ball GT.
Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta and Omega Shenron are from GT, fool.
Well, I wouldn't know that because I only watch good Dragon Ball. There will be downloadable content, paid DLC, for GT Goku, GT Trunks, and Pan. And I'm sorry, why would you want GT Trunks when Future Trunks was way more badass?
Dude, right? I'm gonna definitely play Xenoverse, but man, this is like, I wish this didn't exist, this DLC.
Yeah, I think, Toriyama-san also wishes that GT didn't exist. In World of Warcraft news, the new Blood Elves will be arriving in Update 6.1, but unfortunately that's only the bodies. The faces are not yet redone, or I kind of wasn't sure if, like, they are just going to be, you know, basically the same face, or if it's going to be, like, a full-on Monet, whatever's going on. But if you want new chiseled Blood Elf bods, probably with nipples, I think, but, like, concave butts, then, you know, that will be excited. I'm actually, I want to roll Blood Elf. It's been too long, so.
All right, cool. And last, but certainly not least, we also have word here, and this was sort of big news this week. The Elder Scrolls Online is getting rid of its subscription plan as it currently exists. The game is now going to be rebranded as the Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited.
And well, you know what unlimited means.
And it's going to be taking a buy-to-play approach, similar to what Guild Wars currently does, where you buy the game and then the subscription is free. But there will be optional subscriptions for, you know, like, cash shop bonuses and stuff.
Okay, I'm kind of cool with that.
And the reason why they're doing this now, this is going to be going live on March 17th for PC players, because the game is going to be launching on PS4 and Xbox One on June 9th.
I might be more inclined to check it out now.
I think I will too, probably.
Well, yeah, I know you were looking at that Elder Scrolls PC box at Fry's the other day, so.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the game because I love the idea that, like, you could be playing and you have your character and your race, but then you get bit by a vampire and suddenly you're a new race.
Right? That sounds kind of cool.
It just sounds really cool and organic, yeah.
In release date buoy news, we have a release date for Gunman Clive 2. That will be January 29th on the 3DS eShop for $2.99 or 2.99 euros.
We also have word that the North American PC release of Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 1 will be hitting Steam on January 28th. The game's normal price is going to be $30, but for the first week of release, it will be on sale for $15.
Yes!
So for those of you out there who are interested in this series but haven't jumped in yet, this might be the time.
And the second episode from the Game of Thrones Telltale game is going to be debuting on February 3rd for PC, Mac, PS4, and PS3. It is called The Lost Lords, and will continue the story of House Forrester. Who are they even in the show or the books?
Yes.
Okay, I'm, like, still on book 3. You know, I got stuck in, like, all the talk of poop and food that was being eaten, and, like, boobies, and also stabbing. Game of Thrones!
All right, moving forward, it's time for...
News. 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 Oh my god, news. News, 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 oh my god, news! Oh my god, news!
Well, first up here we
have... This is really being doom and gloom.
Maybe. This week we have word that Nintendo is closing the doors on their current customer loyalty program. That is, of course, Club Nintendo. We've talked about Club Nintendo tons of times over the years. It is, in the next quarter, going to be eliminated in all regions. There will be a new program coming later in the year. We don't currently have the details, but it basically sounds like Nintendo's kind of trying to close down Club Nintendo and do something new related to our Nintendo IDs.
That seems like it would be more seamless and easier than, like, go enter this code. Blah, 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 blah.
You know, I definitely agree, and, you know, I was really happy to note that Flipnote Studio 3D was mentioned on the Nintendo UK Club Nintendo webpage as, you know, it's going to be a free download for people who sign up for the new customer loyalty program in the second half of the year. Because, you know, I've been really looking forward to Flipnote Studio 3D. We've talked about it here on the show.
Indeed.
And I'm really looking forward to that. I'm kind of bummed to see Club Nintendo go because I love the physical prizes they have. I really hope this new loyalty program has that.
You have some, like, great posters and other
little
goodies.
Statues and game cases and little knickknacks. So, yeah, that's just something to be aware of. If you're a Club Nintendo person, but you're sort of sitting on a bunch of codes, now is the time to enter them all and cash in.
Yeah, I have, like, a lot from the holidays that I need to take advantage of and hopefully get something cool.
We also got the surprise announcement of Microsoft's VR headset initiative. This one is called HoloLens, and it actually works a little differently than the traditional VR headset. HoloLens actually uses, light projection directly into your eye to create almost like holograms popping up in the room around you. And the way that it beams the light, it actually creates the visual illusion of these items having, like, depth and weight and, you know, what have you. Normally, I'd say this sounds like hogwash, but, you know, not entirely unlike Illumaroom, if you remember that.
Yeah.
But we actually have already had quite a few hands-on impression posts from various games media websites of people basically saying, you know, HoloLens is the real deal. People who don't work for Microsoft have played with it. It works as advertised. And somewhat interestingly, the first big game Microsoft is going to be launching with it is a special version of Minecraft.
Yeah.
With the idea being that you'll be able to sort of like have your Minecraft world come alive around you. People are talking about how they were like tapping their walls in their home to like the wall would fall out and they'd like be viewing the Minecraft world they created.
Oh God,
beyond their wall.
We're just gonna like lose a bunch of like 8 to 10 year old children to this now.
Right?
No, mommy, I don't want to come out of my room. I'm fighting creepers.
You know, I've seen quite a few people remark that this sort of puts Microsoft's acquisition of Mojang into better perspective.
It really does, since they've been working on this for years.
Well, exactly. Minecraft is the perfect Trojan horse for a sort of disruptive technology like this. You know, what would have been like a niche device, not entirely unlike how a lot of us who own Oculus Rift units are viewed right now, with a new Minecraft experience, it suddenly has the potential to be a phenomenon.
Well, I mean, especially moving for the, you know, continuation of the Xbox One's lifespan and, you know, whatever comes next.
Yeah, beyond. So that was definitely a big deal. You know, we heard about that last week at the Windows 10 announcement event, you know, where we found out that Windows 10 was going to be a free upgrade for Windows 7 and 8.
Yeah. Years. And speaking of Windows 10, yeah.
Oh, you can take this one.
Well, Windows 10 has some implications for PC gamers, definitely, and those who are part of the Xbox platform. So, Windows 10 is going to have a lot of Xbox functionality. It will have an Xbox app that will have things like your games, friends list, messages, activity feed, achievements. So essentially, like, getting rid of the, you know, now mom dead, thankfully, games for Windows Live. I noted in this article on Joystick that it will also include your Steam games in there. So, like, if you're
cool
playing Steam games, like, you can see it in the Xbox app, apparently. You'll be able to play Xbox Live multiplayer across devices. So if I'm playing...
That's a big one to me.
If I'm playing a game on Xbone and you're playing a game on the PC, I won't have to worry, and especially with the announcement of Fable Legends coming to Windows 10 PCs. Day and date with the Xbox One version.
That's awesome. You know, Fable Legends is a game I'm really looking forward to, so...
Right, and before I realized that there was, you know, the cross-platform gaming, I was like, oh, darn, well, I guess we're going to have to get it on all the same platform, but not the case anymore. There will also be Game DVR, which will allow you to save clips and such, even with Steam games. So that's a pretty big deal, you know. It's similar to the functionality on Xbox One, but, you know, having Steam DVR, that's a pretty big deal, I think, to a lot of people. Also, game streaming, which, you know, can stream to your Windows 10 PC or tablet from your Xbox One. And, like, it's going to allow you to use, I believe, like, Xbox One controllers and such for an interchangeable experience. And something that is great for PC gamers is that DirectX 12 will be coming with Windows 10. So this will, you know, definitely push the power of the PC. I was going to say the controversial term, but we don't like that.
And, you know, something that I was really happy to read about DirectX 12 is that it's actually going to be supported by some older chipsets that I didn't think it would be supported by. Like, I know you recently got a new video card in a machine that I sort of handed down to you.
Yes.
And it's based on a Klepper architecture, and that's supposed to be supported by DirectX 12. So that's cool stuff.
Indeed. So the Evo 2015 lineup was announced.
And it is controversial.
I think it's rad as hell. Like, I want to watch every single game.
All right, well, you know, the...
Let's take turns announcing them.
The first game that we'll be seeing is going to be Tekken 7. It's pretty straightforward. You know, of course, Tekken 7 is
going
to be there.
Oh, are we going, like, from the bottom corner across?
Bitch, you don't start with your marquee title.
Okay, next is returning classic Super Smash Bros. Melee.
What? Not Smash 4?
Hold your horses.
Next up is going to be Persona 4 Arena Ultimax.
Nice. We have Mortal Kombat X.
Nice. We've also got Killer Instinct.
Guilty Gear Xrd Sign.
Super Smash Bros. 4 Wii U.
No, that game sucks.
This, of course, makes it quite a big deal because there are going to be two Smash Bros. Games in the main roster.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's any overlap or, you know.
I just hope we get a lot of Hungry Box.
Ultimate hungry, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 will be appearing.
Yes. And, of course, last but definitely not least is Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, so I've never been super into, like, the entire EVO...
Roster,
but, like, this year, I want to watch every game, like, especially the fact that they're having Guilty Gear Xrd Sign, Persona 4 Arena Ultimax, even, like, Tekken 7, you know, with the, the new handsome character and all that. And, you know, Ultimate MVC 3, Ultimate Street Fighter 4, we always love our Capcom fighters, Killer Instinct, and,
that's
of course,
what I'm excited about.
Smash U, and...
I thought KI was great last year, and I'm excited to see how the meta has grown with Season 2.
Yeah, and Mortal Kombat X, even, you know. I think it's a great lineup, but, of course, I'm an outsider, so I'm not feeling salty.
Yeah, well, you know, haters gonna hate. Players gonna play. So moving on, we also have news here of the upcoming FMV crime fiction game being created by Sam Barlow, the designer and writer for my personal favorite Silent Hill game, Shattered Memories.
Yeah.
This game is entitled Her Story, and it revolves around a police database that contains several taped interviews with a female subject concerning the disappearance of her husband. The game is going to be sort of framed as almost like you're reviewing evidence to try and find, like, tells and hints and really sort of organically explore the story yourself by going over this sort of evidence, as the case may be. I think this is a great hook. I definitely have a lot of faith in Sam Barlow. So I'm really excited about this, and it's currently set to arrive in just the next few months on PC, Mac, and iOS. It
nice.
Is currently listed on Steam Greenlight, and if that sounds as good to you as it does to me, I might recommend that you go vote it as a game you would buy.
Yeah, it sounds like something you would have kind of expected in the early 90s, almost.
We also got word that developer Don't Nod, whom we've talked about quite a few times here on the show...
Don't Nod... I know that you are nodding. Don't nod, cause it hurts.
We've talked quite a bit about their games, Remember Me and the upcoming Life is Strange.
Yeah.
Are also working on a game called Vampyr, an action RPG set just after World War I, starring a doctor who happens to be a vampire.
That sounds awesome.
We don't yet have a confirmed date or even target platforms for Vampyr yet, but Life is Strange is going to be debuting on January 30th for Xbox 360, PS3, Xbox One, PS4, and PC.
2K has announced that they will be releasing Borderlands The Handsome Collection. This includes Borderlands 2 and Borderlands
Sequel.
These are for PS4 and Xbox One, of course, and they will be launching March 24th in North America and March 27th in the rest of the world. There will also be a Borderlands The Handsome Collection Claptrap in a Box Edition, which comes with a remote-controlled Claptrap, as well as a steel case and lithographs. But
it's like $400.
It is, but if you really want a remote-controlled Claptrap, which, let's be real, some Borderlanders probably will throw down for that.
Ubisoft announced an experimental new platforming game this week called Grow Home. It was developed by a small team at Ubisoft Reflections Studio. It is going to be a vertically designed platforming game that is physics-based and procedurally animated, emphasizing freedom of movement. If that sounds as interesting to you as it does to me, Grow Home is going to be launching on February 4th. So this is like the video game equivalent of a Beyoncé.
Ooh, put a ring on it.
And if you're not sold yet, just keep in mind that the studio has claimed that their primary influences in designing this game were Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and WALL-E.
Aw, Nicalis, am I saying that right? Nicholas? Nicalis?
I've always said Nicalis.
Nicalis, who you're probably familiar with from 1001 Spikes, is going to be making its Steam debut with Castle in the Darkness, which is being led by Matt Capp, who was the lead artist on The Binding of Isaac and 1001 Spikes. It's an action-adventure game with damning difficulty, just for you, Captain Spike.
And something I'm really excited about this game is that in the image referenced on the joystick page that we'll be linking to you over on GameMovie.org, there's a reference to the Kusoge game that I'm a huge fan of, Monster Party. I'm not going to point it out to you, but if you catch it, you know what it is.
See, I thought that was a Little Shop of Horrors.
Castle in the Dark? Oh, it might be a reference to both. I'm familiar with it.
Well, I mean, look at that. Look at that boss enemy.
Well, yeah, but in the color palette they use, it seemed like a Monster Party reference.
Okay, that's fair.
This is going to be priced at $6 at release, and it's releasing on February 5th. We also have word here that Manga Gamer, who brings over a lot of visual novels lately, on their website has a survey asking fans which visual novels we'd like to see localized by the company. If you're interested in visual novels, I would definitely check this out, as well as keeping an eye on future episodes of Game Buoy.
Yes. The latest Maple Story crossover is Attack on Titan.
It's pretty ridiculous, but also awesome.
I don't think anything else needs to be said.
We also had an announcement, in fact, just today, that the upcoming Guild Wars 2 Heart of Thorns that we sort of knew existed, but we didn't really know what it was, is a full-fledged expansion to Guild Wars 2. They're not going to be raising the level cap, but they will be introducing new kinds of challenges, new profession specializations, and an account-based mastery system so that all of your characters across all of, you know, your different servers and characters will all be progressing together, like group leveling almost.
Hmm.
It sounds pretty interesting. I'm super interested in hearing more. We also got word that the free-to-play PC MMO APB Reloaded, or, you know, All Points Bulletin, is going to be coming to PS4 and Xbox One in the second quarter of 2015. The game will be free-to-play on both consoles, and while it will be available for download to all PlayStation 4 owners, only people on Xbox One with Xbox Live Gold will be able to take advantage of this, which is probably a surprise to no one. And last, but certainly not least, Devolver Digital has announced a new turn-based action platformer stealth game called Ronin. You might be thinking, why did we save this for last? But the main reason is because the developer of Gunpoint, Tom Francis, is a huge fan of this game. You know, he's also had titles published under Devolver, obviously. And he says that the game takes huge influence from Gunpoint while taking the core mechanics in a completely different direction, which is enough to have me very, very excited.
Indeed.
Unfortunately, we do have a little bit of
So those who are looking forward to the game Human Element will be sad to know that Robotoki, the studio that was developing that game, has ceased operations. So the development of Human Element is on hiatus, according to head of the studio, Robert Bowling, who originally opened the studio in 2012 and was kind of like the creative strategist and hype man for Call of Duty at Infinity Ward. So, if you were looking forward to the apocalyptic zombie survival game,
apocalyptic
Human Element, which, you know, it seemed interesting. You know, it kind of had bumps in the road. It wasn't going to be free to play anymore. Like, there were, like, delays and stuff, and, you know. Yeah, so we hope that anyone affected by this closure will land on their feet.
Yep. Hope that everyone out there is all right. Our hearts and thoughts go out to you. All right. Well, you know, we, unfortunately, some real-life stuff has sort of gotten in the way of Slagkick and I putting together the show the way we like to. We've kind of complained about that last week when we were talking about the lack of question of the weeks lately. So we decided this week that we were just going to sort of kick back, take it easy, and have a little bit of a discussion just about some games that we hope can pull a Rock Band 4.
Well, hoping that Rock Band 4 pulls a Rock Band 4.
Right? So, you know, we're just going to talk here about, you know, 20, 25 titles and series, have a little discussion about them and why we hope they come back. And, you know, hopefully we might inspire some of you to check out some games that you've never heard of or have never played and join us in the wanting of more.
Indeed.
So let's get this started, Slaggy. I know this first game is one that you're super, super passionate about. And
right.
I am too. So why don't you introduce us to it?
Well, it won't come as a surprise to many of you, I'm sure, because we've openly stated that we want a sequel many times on air, and that, of course, is for Space Channel 5.
Space Channel 5!
You know, we had Space Channel 5 Part 1 and 2, but, you know, ever since then, we have not seen anything. Every once in a while, we'll get, like, a little tease, a little, like, you know, fan service. We have Ooh La La in the Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed and stuff like that, but... You know,
and you know, we did get that PC port of Space Channel 5 2 a couple years ago.
Right, but you know, no new game. And you know, one of the things that I kind of wanted to explore with this week's episode is, you know, kind of imagining in the year 2015 what some of these games would look like. And I think that really with, you know, Kinect and things like that, that it's the perfect time to bring back this franchise. I mean, whether it's like a Xbox One Kinect exclusive or whatever, or you know, if it was, like, on Wii U and use the Wiimotes, I don't know. Like, you know, there's just so much possibility that would, you know...
I just want to return to up, shoot, right, shoot, left, shoot, shoot, shoot.
I mean, I would even be fine if it was, like, a 3DS game or a Vita game or something like that. You know, it doesn't even have to have any new innovative features, but I'm just saying that there's, like, so much potential. It clearly has a dedicated fan base, so listen up, Sega.
Yeah, you know, it's cute that we occasionally get Ooh La La cameos. You know, there was also the costume sets in, like, Feel the Magic and Rub Rabbits.
And then Ooh La La and Space Channel 5 appeared on Sega Hard Girls anime.
Yeah, yeah, that was actually really quite
awesome. So it's not like Sega's pretending it doesn't exist.
Yeah, they're just not giving us a new game, and I think that's an error. This is one, to me, that, you know, I often defend Sega being a little bit thrifty, because I appreciate that Sega has had hard times financially, and the only way they pulled through it is by being financially conservative, but I definitely think that there is a fan base out there for new Space Channel 5 games.
I mean, hell, they brought back Knights, although that's been, what, 8 years since that?
Yeah, it's been a few years, and, you know, that Knights revival, and, you know, they kind of bit them in the ass, because that did not do super well at all.
Yeah.
Then again, they also made it a Wii exclusive rather than a 360 game as they were initially developing internally.
Yeah.
So, you know, poor life choice there. The next one, of course, would be a new game in the Parappa the Rapper series, but specifically a sequel to the Parappa the Rapper sub-series, Omjammer Lammy.
Omjammer Lammy! Yeah, I mean, you know, we had Parappa 2 a while back, and, I mean, other than that, there was in my opinion, the terrible Major Minor's Majestic March from Nana Onsha.
Nana Onsha.
Which was just, I thought it was a mess of a game, and, you know, I really surprised with, like, Parappa's appearance in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, as laughable as that is, you know, that Parappa is still very much a part of the PlayStation nation. And, I mean, I really think it's long overdue for an Omjammer Lammy sequel. You know, we've talked about many, many times on air how much we love that game. And, you know, like I said with Space Channel 5, you know, you could even do, like, air guitar or, you know, use, like, a guitar controller or whatever. But, I mean, really, I just want more Omjammer Lammy. And, you know, it seems like we haven't really heard a lot from Nana Onsha lately.
Yeah, unfortunately, I definitely agree. I feel like Omjammer Lammy and Parappa the Rapper, I have to admit, I don't think they're gone. I think these are both characters and games that we are going to see come back. You know, we have seen love from Sony toward some of these more obscure and weird rhythm games, especially with, you know, the Vib Ribbon revival of sorts.
Right. So, I mean, that was definitely a win for Nana Onsha.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I have to say, as far as what game style, because I know you said you wanted to talk a little bit about that, I would be disappointed if they tried to do anything new with Omjammer Lammy or Parappa.
Yeah.
I just want more of the same, but with more music and some onboard, like, lag workaround so that I can play the damn game on my damn HD TV, okay?
Right. You know, what I would love is that, you know, if they don't mess with the game design, but if Rock Band 4 happens, ooh, PS4 gets exclusive download pack of no cutting corners. She's on the border.
That would
be enough to sell me on buying it for PS4 over.
Yeah, Xbox One. I would switch platforms for that for
despite
sure.
Despite your hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DLC.
Absolutely. We also, of course, would love a new iteration in the Mega Man series.
Right?
I have to be honest, you know, I basically just want them to out Mighty Number 9, Mighty Number 9. Number 9, Number 9. You know, I don't want to see any 3D experimentation like we saw with Mega Man X. Was it 7 and 8?
I don't know. I never got that far in the X series.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 7 and 8. I just want a straight-up classic Mega Man game, except I'll be honest, at this point, I don't want a Mega Man game like Mega Man 9 and 10. We've already had that. We also had, you know, the Mighty No. 9 Gunvolt crossover game, Mighty Gunvolt, which was very similar to Mega Man 9 and 10. At this point, I want, like, HD-drawn sprites of Mega Man. I want it to be 2D sprite-based, but with, like, gorgeous, lush graphics. I think Mega Man deserves it. If you have to do it in 3D, work with Nintendo and use Mega Man's 3D model from Smash Brothers
right?
And design a game around that aesthetic, because that is a good fit for Mega Man 2. Also, remake Mega Man 2 that way. That is a good fit for Mega Man 2.
Mega Man 2, too.
Yeah, Mega Man 2 HD.
Yeah, I mean, just even doing HD, sprite-based HD versions of the original Mega Man classics would be, like, something.
At this point, I would take it.
It'd actually be doing something with the franchise after letting it sit dormant for 5 years. And I get that, you know, there was the messiness with Inafune-san leaving and Concept and Mighty No. 9, but, you know, it's just, it's a damn shame that this franchise is just sitting dormant. And, you know, just like we see with a lot of Capcom franchises. And, you know, we've often complained about Capcom for that very reason. So it's kind of all coming, you know, to a point in this discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the next game is Duck Hunt. And, you know, this is a little bit of a cheat. We're mostly trying to talk about games that have had more than one game in the franchise.
But, you know, the appearance of Duck Hunt Dog and Duck Hunt Duck in Smash Brothers was very unexpected for a lot of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, it would be easy enough to do a Duck Hunt game just in HD using the Wiimote. Like, that would be easy. It could be, like, a $10 eShop game or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still living for my dream Banjo-Kazooie clone.
Right?
With Duck Hunt Dog in the Banjo role and Duck Hunt Duck and in the Kazooie role. But I would just take a new Duck Hunt shooting game.
As long as it also had clay shooting.
Yeah, well, that's one of the most important parts. And the laughing dog.
Yeah, of course.
You know, another game I really would like to have come back, and I'll be honest, I'm actually really confounded as to why it hasn't, is Nintendo's Oendon series.
Yes,
also, you know, Elite Beat Agents.
Yeah, I'm surprised that we have not had a 3DS entry for that. I mean, I guess a lot of it maybe is to do with licensing fees and such and such. But,
yeah,
you know,
but they made it work for the first two games.
They did, and you know, this really, things like Theater Rhythm that we love today really owe a lot to the DNA of Oendon. Because, I mean, really, Oendon was the first, you know, the first significant touch-based DS rhythm game, you know? And we've seen a lot of things trying to imitate it, and I would say that Theater Rhythm has probably come the closest, but, you know, it doesn't quite match the, you know, I mean, part of the appeal of Oendon, aside from the music and the gameplay, is, you know, the silly scenarios and stuff.
Being a Japanese man on the subway getting diarrhea on the way to his orchestra performance. What?
It's like, you make me wanna la-la. Where in this case, la-la means have diarrhea.
Alright, moving forward. We also, and this is one that I think is actually pretty likely to happen, we really, really, really want the Darksiders franchise to
yes.
return. Of course, you may
recall.
There's
still more horsemen who need to have a game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, of course, Nordic Games did buy the rights to the Darksiders franchise after the THC bankruptcy kerfuffle.
THC bankruptcy. THQ
bankruptcy kerfuffle. And, you know, they have stated that they hope to eventually make a new product in that series, but they've been completely unable to commit to that being a thing that they're really going to do, and they've been unable to commit to, like, a time frame for it. So, you know, for those of us here who have been gaming for, you know, 10, 20 years, that feels an awful lot like a thing that maybe isn't going to happen. So I'm really hoping that, you know, this game does get made, a new Darksiders game. And for those of you out there who haven't played any of the Darksiders games, I highly recommend it. Darksiders 2 in particular is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If you're ever wondering what a Zelda-style game might be like with a more action game-based combat system...
That's Darksiders.
There's a reason Platinum Games had at one time expressed an interest in working with the franchise.
Indeed.
Of course, a big one for us here in the studio would be a revival of the Legacy of Kain series. Now, this gets a little bit of a bullet because there is the free-to-play arena shooter based on...
That doesn't count.
Legacy of Kain called Nosgoth, but in writing the show notes for this episode, Slaggy and I decided that Nosgoth doesn't count. We want a new game, we want beautiful, lush environments, we want an in-depth, detailed storyline, we want to follow the exploits of Kain and his offspring. We do not want any of this generic, using the setting but not doing with anything with it.
And you know, really,
free-to-play bullshit.
At this point, I feel like Square Enix would really need to hand it off the IP to another studio, because they've made it very clear that Crystal Dynamics is their Tomb Raider studio and making nothing else but Tomb Raider. Like, that's very evident based on Crystal Dynamics' output. So while Crystal Dynamics is busy making Xbox One exclusive Tomb Raider games, you know, they could be working with another studio to be making a new Legacy of Kain game.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. Send it out. Yeah, absolutely. The next one is a two-for-one. We would really like to see Crash Bandicoot and Jak and Daxter come back under the specific design guidance of Naughty Dog.
Right? Naughty Dog's too busy doing, like, you know, very, like, gritty, ooh, yeah, Uncharted, and Last of Us, and winning awards, and, you know...
You know, I heard the other day this crazy factoid that Last of Us is literally the most awarded game of all time.
Of all time.
That's nuts to me. I'm sorry. Like, and I'm not saying it's a bad game, but that's a little much.
Yeah, but, you know, both Crash Bandicoot and Jak and Daxter, you know, kind of, you know, I mean, they have their uniqueness, but, you know, kind of lumping them together in, you know, exploration-based, platforming-ish, fun, character-based, cartoony, kind of like really, you know... We don't really think, aside from Mario and, you know, then Sonic, of, you know, mascot-based platforming anymore. Like, it's really kind of Mario is it at this point. And not that that's a bad thing, but, you know, even though I would take a Mario game over a Crash Bandicoot game any day, it would be, you know, it's good for the market, not the marketplace necessarily, but, you know, it would be good to have more out there and, you know, some new ideas being explored. I mean, look at what happened with Sonic Lost World, for example.
Absolutely.
So, you mean, there's room for creative platforming aside from in the Mario franchise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though Mario's the best.
Of course, this is a big one. We would love...
Best-selling game franchise of all time, Super Mario Brothers.
We would love to see a return to the Chrono IP from Square Enix.
Right? Like, hello?
I'm sure you're familiar with Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross if you're listening to this show. If you're not, get over to PSN right now and buy these games on PS1 Classics and just marathon them. Just don't do anything but play these games for a week.
You might
want to
eat and probably poop.
Probably. But, you know, these are, of course, some incredibly influential games.
Sorry, that was gross.
Most of us enjoyed quite a bit, had a huge impact on a lot of us as gamers, and they were both, you know, enormously successful. But for whatever reason, Square Enix, despite at one point copywriting and trademarking the name Chrono Break, have never actually done anything with either of these games, even though we continue to get references to them in newer games. For example, the Chrono Trigger DLC in Theater Rhythm.
Right?
And, you know, this I just would like a straight-up, you know, return to the JRPG fundamentals. Take Chrono Cross's battle system and just take it one step up. Give me more beautiful graphics and another soundtrack by Yasunori Mitsuda-san, and I would be effing set for life.
Yeah, I have a feeling that with Square Enix being like, new game announcement, new game announcement, good new game announcement, blah, 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 blah. If they announced, like, a new Chrono game, people would be, like, legit crying. Like, ugly crying. But, like, you know, like, the good ugly crying where, like, you're, like, you just never thought it would happen. And you're, like, so happy that you're just, like, ugly crying. That would happen because people love the Chrono games. That
yeah,
much.
I have to be honest, that really would happen.
Like, if you were sitting on the train on the way to work and you got an alert on Twitter that they announced that, you'd probably be ugly crying on the train, right?
For sure. There is no question I would ugly cry in public if a new Chrono game got announced.
All right. And speaking of Banjo-Kazooie, you know, as much as I would prefer to see Duck Hunt take that DNA, you know, a lot of us are like, hello, Rare. Stop making Connectimals, or no, they didn't even make Connectimals, did they? They did, like, Connect Sports Adventures or whatever, but, like, you know, we talked in our Rare episode about, you know, just that, what a sad state Rare is in, and, you know, it's just it's such a shame that they had a great thing going with Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, and I think a lot of people have been really, really wanting Banjo-3.
Banjo-3 was a thing that people were talking about for a minute, even, but...
Yeah.
You know, it kind of fizzled. We did get the Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts for Xbox 360. But, you know, not only was that quite a few years ago now, but it was also a departure from the core gameplay that a lot of us fell in love with in the first place. It wasn't bad. I personally actually quite liked Nuts and Bolts once I got into it. But I must say, regardless of how much I liked it, it is not the Banjo-Kazooie experience that I wanted.
Right. I mean, it was kind of like vehicular-based combat, if I remember.
Well, it was like a creation game where you would create vehicles and, you know, you'd have like a set objective and you'd have to like create a vehicle or contraption to help you meet that objective.
Yeah.
And it was very cool. There was some cool stuff they did with physics, you know, procedural stuff that they did with the way that you create your vehicle and how it responds to the environment around you. It was a cool game. It just was not what I want from a
right.
Banjo-Kazooie game.
And, you know, kind of going back a few minutes ago to... talking about Crash and Jak and Daxter, like, if I had to choose between those or a new Banjo-Kazooie, I would obviously take a new Banjo-Kazooie, like, in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
I mean, N64, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one that we would like to see return, and this isn't just us, this is basically the
internet. A post-mortem for it at the GDC. Was that 2 years ago or last year?
I am not quite sure, actually.
We're getting old here on Game Buoy.
We are getting old. I think that was last year.
I think so, too. We're, of course, talking about Shenmue.
You know, Shenmue is a really cool game. Laid the roots for what we would eventually see in Yakuza.
Mm-hmm.
An incredibly accurate recreation of certain areas of Japan. You know, Sega went all out in sort of authentically recreating the setting. They researched weather patterns so that the in-day calendar... as it would pass, you'd have the correct weather for every day. You know, the Shenmue is just a real labor of love, and I feel like we don't get a lot of that in the games industry right now. And I would love to see Yu Suzuki get to make a third Shenmue game. And it sounds, you know, we've talked about this here on the show quite a few times, but it sounds like Yu Suzuki would like to make a new Shenmue game. So
yeah.
let's hope that somehow Sega can find a way to make that make sense.
Indeed. The next game we'd like to see come back is Seaman. You know, this is the...
Jackson, if you nasty.
This is the Yute Saito classic from Dreamcast that also got a Japanese-only sequel for the PS2. And, you know, we think of Seaman as, you know, the frogman and talking to him, Pikachu, Genki, Ditchu style, which, I mean, really, this set the precedent for Pikachu, Genki, Ditchu. Pikachu. And I mean, the thing is that the PS2 sequel involved an island where you were in charge of, like, miniature people, right?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, 20-centimeter tall inhabitants. And you were able to... It was kind of more like a god game. And so I just, like... You can only imagine, like, what type of hike they could take it to next, you know?
My big memory of Seaman... was asking Seaman why he didn't speak English, because I thought he did, and straight up being told by the game that, like, the game was like, why do Americans always assume everyone speaks English? And I was like, oh, snap, bitch, you just burned me.
Ah.
But anyway, you know, this game was like a bastion of creativity, just really cool, neat, weird ideas. There was a Seaman 3DS announced at one point in time, but that was like 5 years ago. I feel like that's not really a thing that's going to happen. And I think that's a real shame, because is just a cool series that I think people
and
really
I am
enjoy
sure
if
that
to try.
I'm sure Leonard Nimoy would be totally on board to come back.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he does voice acting for Kingdom Hearts games, I have to assume he would do Seaman, right? Who wouldn't do Seaman?
I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, doing Seaman.
Seaman all over the place.
The next one that we'd like to talk about, of course, is the perennial favorite of people crank-calling GameStop. I'm talking, of course, about the brutally hard Battletoads.
Yep.
Battletoads is a weird one because for a brief window in time in the 90s, it was very popular. You know, these games were selling big. There were actually, you know, not quite a few, but there were a few Battletoads games made, including a really weird arcade game. Obviously, of course, I imagine a lot of people are most familiar with the series from Battletoads in Double Dragon, which was, of course, a really great crossover game that for a lot of Americans was like their first real exposure to crossover games. That's a real classic. It was available on, what, like SNES, Genesis, NES, Game Gear, etc.
Yeah, you know, Battletoads was almost posed to like kind of take over the popularity of the Ninja Turtles, except for that shit terrible animated pilot that was like so bad.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
It's so bad.
Unfortunately.
You know, so either way, this is one that, you know, Microsoft and Rare constantly tease us with. They drop little mentions. At the Microsoft Windows 10 event that we were talking about earlier today, the man presenting was wearing a Battletoads t-shirt, which made many of us think that, you know, the sort of grand announcement at the end for the gaming segment was going to be a new Battletoads, but unfortunately that segment came and went.
Do you want to know something ironic that I just learned about?
Sure.
The writer of the shitty Battletoads pilot was named David Wise, but it is not the same David Wise from Rare.
That's pretty strange.
Right?
Either way, you know, Battletoads is one that I would be willing to take back in any form as long as it had at least one incredibly reflexive, demanding, like, racing speeder segment.
Well, it would have to.
A lot of people who played Battletoads back in the 90s or late 80s, whenever that came out, people hated that segment, but not me. I can still do that segment, the third level with the speeder bikes in the original NES Battletoads. I love that segment. It upsets me that I have it memorized because I can't enjoy it the way I used to, and I want new content like that.
Well, here's a plot twist for you. What if they don't bring back Battletoads, but instead we get a new Biker Mice from Mars?
As long as it has that gameplay mechanic, I won't just buy it. I will pre-order it.
What if it's Snickers? Even winners need Snickers to satisfy their hunger.
As long as that mechanic is in the game, I will not just buy it. I will pre-order it.
All right. One that is near and dear to our hearts at Game Buoy is Power Stone.
Yeah, Power Stone, of course, you know.
Speaking of Capcom letting treasures go.
Power Stone, of course, two games in the series, both huge fan base. The original Power Stone was a launch title for the Dreamcast. The second came out, you know, like a year later, had a Naomi arcade conversion release as well, which for a lot of people in North America, that I know, was their first experience playing it, because arcades were still a thing back then. Unfortunately, Capcom has done basically nothing with the IP. They did do a port of Power Stone 1 and 2 on one UMD for the PSP in the Power Stone collection. There were Power Stone costumes in the Dead Rising Ultra whatever DLC, you know, that really weird Capcom crossover DLC. But that's about it for Power Stone, which is really weird when you consider that this was a game that was popular enough that it had a 26-episode anime series made after it.
Really?
Yeah. It's awful, but it exists.
Plot twist, there was a new Biker Mice from Mars game. It was in 2006, 2007.
I wish that didn't happen.
Right? It's still no Battletoads. Damn it. I mean, they would... I can't.
I'm going to go off script here real quick and say that another game I'd really, really need a new iteration of is the Rival Schools United by Fate series. Of course, you know, in North America, this game series had two releases. That was Rival Schools United by Fate and Project Justice. for the Dreamcast. The first one, of course, was a PS1 game. In Japan, there were a couple of other games, but they were more like expanded releases of Rival Schools United by Fate. Either way, this is a game that those of us who remember it love it. For a lot of us, it was like the first time Capcom actually did a competent 3D fighting game. After, you know, having tried for years with the Street Fighter EX series. And it's just a shame, you know, this is a game with a great lore, great character designs, really resonates with people. And for whatever reason, outside of the odd cameo character, Capcom has done very little with it. In fact, that's almost like a running thing with Capcom, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Right? I mean, we've been saying that ever since our Giants of the Gaming Industry episode, like way, 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 way back in year one of Game Buoy.
Yeah, they might have the best unused portfolio. I mean, we're not going to talk about all these games, but, you know, I would love a new iteration in the Dino Crisis series. I would love a new Onimusha. I could go for a new, like, Legendary Wings game.
Well, I mean, you...
you know, obviously, I'd love to see a new Ghost Trick game. I'd love to see a new Okami game. I'd love to see
right?
a new
I mean, you
Dragon's
think of,
Dogma, a new Asura's Wrath. Not a new Lost Planet. You guys have done that more than enough. But like a new Zack and Wiki game?
Yeah, I mean, and if you think of, you know, how much we've talked about the creative...
Breath of Fire, bro!
The creative content, the creative teams who have left or been asked to leave or were
Beautiful
kind of forced out
Joe.
Of... Yeah, I mean, Hello Platinum Games basically doing Capcom better.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost embarrassing if you look at a list of Capcom IP. It's like, literally, like, why are there not more games for all of these series?
We might need to have another Capcom looky-loo.
Yeah, well, we're just going to call that one Fuck-com.
All right, well...
Teletubby, teleport me to Mars!
Well, I won't teleport you to Mars, but I will teleport you to Neo Kobe City in the year
snaps.
2046.
So, you know, obviously the next game we're going to talk about is Snatcher. We're cheating a little here because, strictly speaking, there was only one real Snatcher game.
Police Knots.
But there was Police Knots, which is a, you know, sort of similar game. There was obviously SD Snatcher, which was a comedy version of the game, like a parody version. And Suda Goichi did direct, a couple of years ago, a radio drama based in the Snatcher universe.
Suda Goichi? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, this is clearly a series that has, like, super nerd cred. For a lot of people, it was where Hideo Kojima really got his start on, like, making the batshit crazy, philosophically deep games. Unfortunately, it's incredibly difficult to play the original at this point. For me, this was like the first visual novel style game I really got into, and to this day, when I play visual novels, I often compare them to Snatcher.
Mm-hmm.
Just an incredible game, an incredible story. You know, I'm not a huge story in games guy, but this one is just like, I would watch an anime of this, I would read a manga of this, I would watch a TV series, like just, I love this story so much, it totally works for me. I love like the whole sci-fi cyberpunk aesthetic. And I am desperate for more.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the closest that we're going to get to that is the mid-boss game Read Only Memories due out this year from the folks behind GamerX GX. And, you know, they openly admit it's basically a love letter to Snatcher, which is like, you know, thank goodness there's other people who out there who love these games. Because, you know, they're kind of keeping it alive.
And the last one that we're going to talk about as a part of this segment is the Ghosts and Goblins series. But we're also rolling that into the Gargoyle's Quest series.
Yeah, they're all one big happy family.
You know, obviously, the last big Ghosts and Goblins release, not including, like, weird PC offshoots and weird mobile offshoots, was Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts for the PSP. And this is, you know, this is basically Konami pulling a Capcom. This is a well-loved series. You have relegated it to sort of the gaming ghetto, despite experimenting with the 3D space for this style of game with the Maximo series for PS2, which, again, was quite well-regarded and sold decent numbers. This is Capcom once again pulling a Capcom and, you know, sort of sending the game to suffer in the gaming ghetto, where its core fan base just isn't. You know, they experimented with bringing the series to the 3D space with Maximo on the PS2, and that game sold decent numbers. The Ultimate Ghost, Ghosts and Goblins game. It did decent numbers. This is a game that is well-loved by many, many people, but for whatever reason, they just completely have ignored it in the last few years, in the last console generation. They've done nothing with it, and this potentially could be a really big IP for them, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, especially with, you know, not that I would compare the gameplay of Ghosts and Goblins, Ghouls and Ghosts and Goblins to Shovel Knight, but I mean, if you think of, like, you know, kind of, Ghosts and Goblins always had a little bit of a, you know, silliness to it. I mean, not
running around in your boxes.
I was just gonna say, I would love a game where, you know, you complete the game as Arthur, you know, regular, but then, like, you unlock a costume where you just get to be in his boxers the whole time.
Are you proposing a Ghosts and Goblins game where you beat it for the first time and then have to replay it?
Why is that bad?
Our listeners get what I'm saying. I trust them.
See, I'm sorry, I'm just too distracted thinking about sexy beardy Arthur in his boxers. I don't even care.
Hey-oh! And, you know, Gargoyle's Quest obviously had three games in the series. The third is my favorite game of all time, Demon's Crest. That game is widely regarded by game historians as being, like, this amazing achievement in game design and SNES gameplay and taking it sort of, like, to its furthest logical conclusion at the time. But, you know, it's been how many console generations? Like, it is time to revitalize that. It is time to bring that back. There's a real market now for these open-world designed games. People love games where you have, you know, multiple forms and multitude of abilities and where you're abilities grow. Like, there is definitely something that can be done with Gargoyle's Quest / Demon's Crest, and it pisses me the F off that Capcom is just sitting on it. Although, I will admit, I love the fact that they recentishly released Demon's Crest on the Wii U Virtual Console, and I hope that is a sign of things to come.
I just remembered that Dead Rising has unlockable Arthur boxers for Frank West.
Ooh, hey!
I'm gonna need a minute.
Oh, Frankie, you're so sexy.
Anyway.
All right, well, do you want to round out this discussion with the question of the week answers before we sort of wrap it up ourselves?
We're going to do the question of the week a little differently this week. You know, it's been the first time in a couple months we've done a question of the week, and we thought we would tie it in to this discussion. We'll, of course, be getting your other social links, tweets and Twitters and comments and all those great things in a little bit. This week's question of the week was... This week, we're taking a look at some Dead Too Soon series that we think need revivals. What series do you think needs to make a comeback? Over on Facebook, we had the bonus question, what series that has made a comeback has done it best? And we'll be wrapping up a discussion with a couple that we never thought we would see a return to. We'll start off over on the Facebooks with Daniel T., who said the recent release of Lufia The Legend Returns on Virtual Console has really rekindled my love for the old Lufia games. Although the series did have a DS entry in the last 5 years that I enjoyed, it was both a radically different playstyle and reimagining of a previous game. Lufia 2 Rise of the Sinistrals is a classic game that I believe features one of the best blends of classic JRPG tropes, quirky situations, headache-inducing puzzles, and an endearing charm. I would love to see a new, more traditional entry in the series, and I could believe it could be done for a song compared to the JRPGs we are getting these days that have mostly abandoned traditional gameplay. As for the most successful recent revival, I would have to say that the Donkey Kong Country series. Although I missed out on the Wii title, I have played it on the 3DS, and Tropical Freeze was one of my favorite games of 2014. I believe the revived series has captured everything that made the original series so great, particularly in Tropical Freeze with the new David Wise soundtrack, not to be confused with the David Wise who wrote the shitty Battletoads pilot. That's my comment. If this were a series to receive a new entry with the same amount of care and polish every 2 to 3 years, I would certainly be glad to continue supporting it. Well said. Over on the Twitter tweets, we have our first tweet came from Your Enzyme saying, does it need to be a series? If not, I kill for a sequel to Blast Corps.
Oh, snaps. So we are trying to stick to series, but that's all right. We're going to talk about this because Blast Corps is a game that I have talked about here on the show before. Rareware game, top down, and you basically had to take control of different vehicles to destroy buildings that were in the path of a giant nuclear robot. Mm. It was wildly inventive, tons of fun. It took, like, driving car mechanics into a direction that no one had really experimented with before that time. I agree super hard. This would be a great game to see come back.
Continuing, if we're only talking about games with multiples in the series already, Wild Arms. The series lost its way, but I love it.
How about instead of Wild Arms coming back, we all just agree to listen to the opening song from the first game's anime movie over and over for the rest of our lives?
Okay.
But no, Wild Arms is great. You know, the core series is cool. It had some spin-offs of varying quality, but I really liked that weird hex-based tactics one for PSP. I thought that was cool.
Brondorf says...
Either way, should come back. I agree.
Brondorf says, Chrono, Panzer Dragoon, Wave Race, and Lunar are the first that come to mind for me. Your Enzyme replies, the last Lunar game came out in 2010. Hasn't quite been long enough for a revival. Totally agree on the others.
I'm actually going to agree with... I'm sorry, who are these two?
Brondorf.
Okay.
And Your Enzyme replied.
I agree with Brondorf. I don't agree with Your Enzyme.
Sorry, bud.
Sorry about it. The last really new Lunar game was in 2005 for the DS. It was Lunar Dragon Song. It has had ports of the original game since then. That 2010 release was Lunar Silver Star Harmony, which is just an slightly expanded remake of Silver Star Story, which was, if I'm being honest, the important part here is that it was not very good.
Oh, I was going to say, I remember all the Lunar ads in the gaming magazines. Because the Lunar games were the ones that always had the huge like deluxe editions, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember those a lot. It would be cool to see those again. Happy Natto replies to that thread, says, Wave Race is honestly the first thing that pops into my head when I think of N64. I would love a new title.
Which game was that?
Wave Race.
Yeah, I strongly agree there. I stan Wave Race and Wave Race Blue Storm hella hard. I love these games. Blue Storm in particular, you know, I actually imported that at the launch of the Japanese release of the GameCube. It was one of two games I had on GameCube at launch, and I played it so much. Like, I unlocked everything, all the mirror tracks, all the weird stuff you had to, like, be super good to do. And I would, like...
That was a humble brag.
Hold on, because this is going somewhere. I enjoyed it so much that I rebought it when it came out in the U.S., just to unlock it all over again.
Aww.
I loved it, and I would absolutely kill for, like, a current-gen Wave Race. I don't need no motion shit. I don't need no second-screen shit. Just Nintendo, work whatever magic you worked on the GameCube to produce those visuals and physics effects, and do that with the Wii U horsepower, and just let it sing.
Gamer Fox says, Banjo-Kazooie, Chrono Trigger / Cross, Legend of Dragoon, Lufia, Dark Cloud, Lost Kingdom, Baten Kaitos, the list goes on.
God, our listeners have such good effing taste.
Atari Barbie says, Mischief Makers.
Yes!
Fix Your Face says, Gradius, Wizards and Warriors, Adventures of Lolo. That's funny, I was just thinking about the Eggerland series the other day.
Man, surprising no one. Jeremy had some great picks there. You know, Adventures of Lolo is an amazing game, which I don't really know why people don't do more with that either. Gradius, you know, we do see some Gradius movement every now and then, but we could definitely stand for another one. But Wizards and Warriors is an inspired pick because those games were great. I've talked about them here on the show. Brutally hard, really strangely designed, but really inventive. And I agree, like, that is a series that really needs to come back more than even, like, my beloved Battletoads. Good pick.
SteelyGar CTR says Advance Wars and Okami.
Definitely agree on both of those. It really bothers me that there hasn't been an Advance Wars for 3DS yet.
Right? Oh, Krylo says, Jet Set Radio. I can see it coming back now that EDM is mainstream. Oh, no! No, I just think of the EDM I hear on, like, the alternative rock radio stations. But no, totally. I think we would all love a new Jet Set. I feel like we were saying that with the Dreamcast episode, that we need a new... I'm surprised we didn't say anything about a new Jet Set this episode.
Well, you know, I think that because we got that port of that to PC and 360, PS3 just a couple years ago, it still feels like that's sort of a part of the going dialogue at Sega. And, you know, I agree, that style of game would definitely be more popular now than it was when it came out.
Yeah, but there is, of course,
the superb Jet Set Radio future.
Right. And, you know, but the thing is, this is not enough of a mainstay at Sega as something like Crazy Taxi, for example.
Yeah, why the hell is the new Crazy Taxi an iOS free-to-play game? Jesus.
Anyway, Emiru69 wraps up the tweets here with Baten Kaitos for the Wii U would be awesome.
You could
control your cards in the controller screen. Sigh.
Man, I just have to say, y'all thought of some way better games than we did, okay?
Yeah, those were some great, great thoughts. You know, we wanted to wrap up our discussion with kind of what we alluded to in our Facebook bonus questions.
So we wanted to wrap up this discussion, as we alluded to in that Facebook bonus question, taking a sort of step and talking about games and series that we had thought were long dead, but did in fact make comebacks that give us the hope that we have today for Rock Band 4 and all of these other games. You know, obviously the easy starting point is the phenomenal Wii game Punch-Out.
Yep, there's a reason that Little Mac is all back in black and green.
Back in black and green. You know, it was just a great game. It took the design fundaments from the earlier Punch-Out games, both NES and Super NES, and also arcade, now that I think about it, and really brought them forward to a game that was still a lot of fun, even contemporaneous to its new modern release. It's just really cool, and it's not even like a drastically different game. Obviously, a lot of people out there agree, since this is, you know, one of the games that's going to be releasing, or has released now, on the Wii U as a Wii Virtual Console game.
Yes.
You know, another big one, of course, was Kid Icarus Uprising.
Right? Like, we never thought, even with, you know, Pitt's appearance in the Smash games, like, we never thought that there would be a new game.
Yeah, you know, I gave up hope after the Capcom 5 kerfuffle, when that game Dead Phoenix, everyone had thought it was really secretly going to be a Kid Icarus game. And, you know, after that came to pass, and that game was just canceled outright anyway, I had given up hope on a new Kid Icarus. I'm a huge fan of the NES original, and I love the Game Boy sequel, Kid Icarus of Myths and Monsters.
I seem to remember the Game Boy one being, like, way more challenging.
That might be true. It's really difficult for me to say because I just fondly remember them both. But then Uprising came out, and I think that game is phenomenal. It is difficult. I know a lot of people have some issues with the controls, even though I swear by them. But just overall, Kid Icarus was a great revival, and, you know, it's something that's funny that I wasn't even thinking about when we structured this episode. It's funny that the two easy games for us to think of were both games that are also in the modern age now closely associated with the Smash Brothers series.
Yep. I mean, like, what's next?
Rob you. I would play a new Rob game. I would. Just not Gyromite you. Let Gyromite die, please. Obviously, you know, a game that we talk about a lot here on the show, another unexpected comeback that we thought turned out really well, was Killer Instinct.
Yes.
This is a game that, you know, the fan base for many years thought would be impossible due to ownership issues between Nintendo and Rare and even Midway, because they had such a hand in the arcade development. But, you know, Microsoft pulled it out and made the game work. Rare worked with Double Helix, of all people, to make what has turned out to be a really competitive fighting game.
Yep.
And now we have the new content for the Season 2 content coming out of Iron Galaxy, who is obviously super well-loved by fighting game enthusiasts. And it looks like Killer Instinct is just getting better and better.
Indeed. Speaking of Double Helix, they were also responsible for the Strider revival, which we talked about not long ago, just about a year ago on the buoy here. And that was one that we never really expected to see come back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Strider turned out great. It was a little shorter than I would have liked, but for, you know, $15 or whatever, such an amazing experience, and one that I'll definitely come back to after I've sort of forgotten
right?
the stage
layouts. Right, for once Capcom did not pull a Capcom.
Yeah, right? Obviously, you know, I'd also like to talk about Double Dragon Neon by the guys over at WayForward, who also did remake of DuckTales.
Right, I mean, WayForward are just the cream of the crop for platformers, I really feel.
And I felt like Double Dragon Neon was a really great way to do a Double Dragon game and a Double Dragon-style game, you know, in the late, you know, in the 2010s. Like, I don't know that a lot of studios really could have nailed that game the way they did. And that was just unexpectedly awesome. Quite a few naysayers out there, but they really proved that they had the right stuff to make that game.
Yep.
And last, but maybe least in the eyes of some, would be Sonic 4.
Oh, just in you. You know, and the reason I wanted to include this was kind of more as a footnote, because, and Captain Spike and I were talking about this before we recorded. Captain Spike considers the, Sonic Rush games and such to be kind of, part of the 2D, I mean, they are part of the 2D Sonic experience, but as I had mentioned on our Sonic episode, back when we talked about Sonic in all the games in the franchise, like, I was not really a fan. I felt that they focused too much on speed instead of, Sonic is about speed, don't get me wrong, but, I always associated, especially when it got to Sonic 3 and Sonic 3 and Knuckles, with, like, exploring and, of course, there's a good Sonic level should have fast parts, but also, like, lots of exploration. And with Sonic 4, we finally truly got a return to that, I think for a lot of us, we never thought that Sonic 4 was something that would ever happen. We just figured out, it's going to be the 3D platformers for the consoles, and then these, Sonic Rush-like experiences that just focused on, speed for the portables. But, we had it come through, and, kind of now Sonic again in kind of a questionable state with Boom and stuff. Maybe Sonic 5 time, or even a Sonic 4 Episode 3.
I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because I didn't actually finish Sonic 4 Episode 2, but I'm told that it ends on a cliffhanger for, like, an Episode 3 that would have wrapped the saga up. So maybe it's time to go back to that. After the Sonic Boom kerfuffle, I think it's safe to say that Sonic Boom is, in fact, a kerfuffle.
Yeah, I mean, there was Episode Metal.
Lost Worlds was great, though. I actually thought Lost Worlds was great.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm
not
really...
2D, though. I appreciate what you're saying.
But, until Sega ever officially says anything about it, we don't have the official word. But, it seems to be bad news for Sonic.
When we revisit this episode in 2 years, I bet we'll be like, man, I wish Sonic 4 Episode 3 would come back. All right, well, with all that having been said, I think that's enough for this topic. But we do, in fact, have a little bit of hearsay, so let's talk about it. Rumor has it.
Now, Final Fantasy XIV: A Realm Reborn is getting its...
Actually, God, it came out last week.
You're right. I'm not really in the Final 14, mindset right now.
But
so, yes.
You will be.
And in the files were some data mined data that had to do with Yo-Kai Watch. So there could be a Yo-Kai Watch crossover on its way.
Man, I feel like crossovers are a recurring theme this week.
Yeah. And, weren't we saying that Yo-Kai Watch is finally going to be airing here this year in North America?
Yep, that's the word we've got.
So,
that
would be, not only would it be great for the Japanese release of the game, but, also perfect tie-in for over in this region as well.
Absolutely. And, this rumor is based on the fact there were the data mined images of characters from Yo-Kai Watch in Realm Reborn, but also Level 5 CEO and President Akihiro Hino-san is a huge MMO fan, and he has talked on many occasions about being a big Fixiv fan, and he actually had appeared on a stream, a Square Enix stream, with a Whisper, one of the monsters from Yo-Kai Watch, in armor from Final 14. So, this is definitely something they're teasing. It seems very likely to be a real thing, but as we've said here on this show, that's not enough to be considered fact yet.
Right.
But I would definitely put money on this. It seems very likely that this is a thing that's gonna happen.
It makes sense.
Show does.
All right, shall we move on to...
I said, hey, what's going on?
Oh, what's going on? Captain Spike, what you been playing?
I have been playing Final Fantasy XIV.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, I've been really enjoying it. You know, I started a new character, so I have not surpassed where my old character was yet. So I'm just sort of replaying stuff so far, but I'm really enjoying it a lot. I'm really happy to be back. I think it's a great game.
And what job are you playing right now?
The two I'm working on right now are Archer, because that is going to be important to become a Black Mage, and Pugilist, because that is going to be important to be a monk, and those are the two classes I kind of, or the two jobs I want to play moving forward.
Nice. Yeah, when I played the beta for PS3, I was playing a Thaumaturge, which, you know, is primarily what leads to the Black Mage, and I really enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, Black Mage is Thaumaturge 30, Archer 15.
Nice.
My character's archery is now 15, in fact, last night, so I'll be able to start moving on to Thaumaturge.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've also been playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, you have.
I've actually been maining Arthas this week, and that's been a lot of fun.
Cool.
Very tanky, very fun. And I'm just, I have to be honest, I'm really excited to just play more characters as they come up in free rotation, and just sort of experience everything. I think it's a really great, well-designed game.
Lovely.
What about you, Slaggy McWaggy? What have you been playing?
Well, I decided to try out Sane Party for the Wii U. You know, that totally flopped.
Oh, yeah.
We tried it out last night, and I'm actually, like, disappointed that that's not gonna probably have any more entries in the series, because, you know, the Wii U gamepad, you can kind of, like, queue up songs ahead of time. The UI for, like, you know, I mean, it's a karaoke game, you know, it's not, like, breaking any real barriers, but just kind of the way the UI is presented makes it really easy to see, like, where your pitch is, in a way that even things like, you know, the Karaoke Revolution, which, you know, that tech was used by Harmonix for the Rock Band vocals, is kind of hard to, you know, really see where your pitch is. So, I mean, I think we'll be less richer for not having more Sane Party, and it has, like,
less richer?
Oh, shush you. I think it's a shame, let's say that. But, you know, the track list is pretty great, and I can't remember if, you know, did it have any DLC support?
I don't believe so.
Maybe that was part of the problem. But, I mean, the on-disc track list is great. You know, there are things that are actually, like, really, really great, and then some things that are silly that, you know, you might want to see if you're a little intoxicated. But, you know, I'm just glad that...
So call me maybe.
Right? No, I'll sing that sober.
I know you would.
You know, I'm just glad that, you know, they actually, you know, released it, because they could have just been like, oh, no.
All right, and is that it for you? I know you've had a really busy work week, so...
Yeah, so I let off a little steam, and call me maybe.
All right.
Well, it's time for our social links. As you already know by listening to this episode, we talked about our question of the week, but we do have some Game Buoy Extra responses.
Woo!
Our Game Buoy Extra from last episode was, what was the most exciting announcement from the most recent Nintendo Direct? Gamer Fox said, actually, I was pretty stoked that Mario Party 10 got a release date. I love those games. Me too, on both counts. And then Evan, also known as Your Enzyme from Twitter, sent us a Mail Buoy Game Buoy Extra saying, were there exciting announcements from Nintendo during the newest Direct? They just brought another round of disappointment for me. Maybe I'm just upset they aren't bringing the regular-sized new 3DS over. I have an XL now, and I've just stopped playing it due to how uncomfortable it is to play. It's just so dang heavy, and the new XL weighs even more. Frowny face. Whining stops there. I was excited for another Fire Emblem announcement. So glad they have feet now. Right?
Ah!
Yeah, so I have to say, I kind of heard some sentiment, not just from, you know, listeners, but just kind of out there in general, that the Direct was disappointing. And I personally thought it had a lot of great gems and tidbits, but, you know, to each their own. So thank you for the Game Buoy Extras. You can always Game Buoy Extra us. And I'd like to wrap up with a couple other tweets.
Twiddly, twiddly, tweet.
Emiru, excuse me, I'm trying to wrap it up here. Sorry to shut down.
Wrap it up.
Sorry to duck hunt your birds down. Emiru69 says annoying. Emiru69 is not annoying, I am. Emiru69 says enjoying another episode of GameBuoy.org while playing Hearthstone. I'm not a Blizzard fan, but I have to admit I'm enjoying it. Yay!
Yeah, Hearthstone is a really solid experience, and thank you for the love.
Happy Natos recently went to the latest tour of the Symphony of the Goddess, Zelda Symphony, and said in tweet, "During the Wind Waker medley, I kept thinking of GameBuoy.org and expecting to hear an Ahoy Mateys." Aww. And rumor has it that Happy Natto and his boyfriend were responding to GameBuoy.org while they listened in the car.
Ah, that's awesome.
We have programmed them. And your enzyme replies to us in regards to Bravely Default. We had said, you know, we wanted to know more about why the 3DS might have hampered it. And so your enzyme replies, "I guess the big thing for me was going from a Vita to a 3DS XL to play BD really made the difference in hardware capability. BD has amazing, made the difference in hardware capability evident. BD has amazing art, but the low res of the 3DS didn't do the game justice." That's fair, you know, coming from lots of JRPG content on the Vita and, you know, like super pretty sprites and stuff, you know, it's understandable.
Yeah, when you put it like that, I feel what you're saying. I don't know that I agree with you necessarily, but I definitely see what you're saying. And it is true. The game definitely, even though I think it did a lot with a little, there is the fact that it is working with a little. And the game probably would have been a real showstopper on, like, a platform like the Vita.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's something like, you know, that Chris Clue said, although he wasn't really elegant the way that he said it, about Xenoblade Chronicles looking like dung. I'm not saying that that's what your enzyme is saying, but I'm saying, you know, another example of where...
Well, no, the opposite. Your enzyme stated it in a way that it's, you know, actually, you're right.
Right.
I feel you.
No, but I mean, but similarly that, you know, Nintendo tech isn't always the top of the game, and, you know, a game like Xenoblade Chronicles would have looked super, 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 super pretty on Xbox 360 and PS3, but still a pretty game on Wii for most people. Anyway, that's it for our social links. Remember, you're always free to respond to old Question of the Weeks, and, you know, we'll be having more Questions of the Week coming to you for our future episodes.
Directly to you.
You can always get in contact with us for anyone who is a backlog buoy. And with that, we love your feedback.
Love it.
We love your iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews.
Love them.
We like your Facebook likes.
Like
we effing love Twitter.
We effing love Twitter.
You can tumble with us on Tumblr sometimes. You can plus one on Google Plus.
Plus, plus, plus.
We'd like to announce that we are now available on Stitcher Radio.
We are available on Stitcher Radio.
So the easiest way to get there is stitcher.com/podcast/game-buoy. Or, you know, you can just click a link on GameBuoy.org.
And we'll probably
Excuse me, I said GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And yes, we will tweet out a link to our Stitcher. I was worried they wouldn't approve us because of our dirty mouths. But yes, over on GameBuoy.org. Over on GameBuoy.org, you can listen to the complete episode archive and, you know, find a link to all of our social links and all of that sort of thing. So you can do the thing.
Julie, do the thing.
No, you do the thing, the shout-out thing.
As ever and always, my first shout-out goes to Koopa Club. That's Koopa with a Q and Club with a K. Koopa Club is an award-winning podcast about Nintendo and gaming with an LGBT twist. We've also got VG Realness on board, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends, as well as the Game Over Takeover, your one-stop shop to go to for geekery galore. I'd be remiss not to mention OLR, Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I steal ever so many of my cues. There's also the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop punk. In non-gaming podcasts, of course, I must direct you to Slaggy McWaggy's podcast, Reading is Fundamental, the weekly show about RuPaul's Drag Race, when RuPaul's Drag Race is actually airing.
Yeah, hello, Logo TV. When is the first episode going to be?
RIF, for short, also features myself, as well as Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness.
Yes,
I'd also like to point you in the direction of the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail, as well as X Nation over at culturalwormhole.blogspot.com, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. And last but certainly not least is Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man. Slaggy, why don't you take us to a game bar?
Game Bar is the gay video game prairie home companion, where you can
officially.
They're part of the Hunty Bunch, and, you know, just always a laugh and a riot.
Sure, Jan.
Excuse me. George Class is real. Over on Voice of Geeks Network, you can listen to some great shows. That's vognetwork.com. On Girls Gone Wow, you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And on Horde House, you can hear the place for all things online gaming, but never too seriously. And last but certainly not least, we have La Palanca Podcast. Podcast por y para gay gamers, Latino Americanos, en Español. As ever and always, our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, not to be confused with Symphony of the Goddess, but this was the project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music and gorgeous symphonic sound, and apparently is so great that it makes our listeners think of Game Buoy when you're hearing it at the Symphony of the Goddess. We'll be forever pouring out a 40 for them into the Great Fairy Fountain.
With all of that having been said, guys, thank you so much for spending your Saturday night, Sunday morning with us. We really appreciate it. I hope you guys have had as much fun listening as we've had talking. We'll be seeing you again in, I think, 2 weeks for a look at a very niche Japanese genre of game. So, you know, please look forward to that. Guess, maybe, at what this genre might be. And until next time, keep gaming, keep thinking, and Kiseki no Kachiwa.
Yeah, I don't even know at this point. Yeah, we're going to do our social links a little bit out of order this week. No, I don't want it to be like... Yeah, I came in like a fireball. Chat buoy. I removed myself from most of those sites where it's like, look up your name.
Interesting. How did you do that?
Crash Override had a resource post about it.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. You know, I saw a lot of people talking about that, in fact.
I saw a lot of people being like, no, Zoe Quinn is actually a harasser.
Y'all dumb. All right, you ready?
Yes, don't include my belch on the show roll.
I would never. I'm going to include it in the blooper reel.
Just some bitches talking some tea, girl. Well, it won't come to a surprise. Gotta renew your antivirus.
Doom and gloom. Areas of Japan, Nintendo... You know, Sega... Oh, Frankie, you're so sexy.
Yeah.
That's fat material. Not least is table.
Duck rob
hunt
you.
Dog. Duck hunt 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 dog.
Rob you.
Duck hunt dog.